Shalom everyone and Shavua Tov. We are in Parashat Shmini and just a few days from Passover. And we are also in the midst of a unique time in the history of humanity, and let's try to figure that out. Parashat Shmini. You can find Parashat Shmini in the book of Leviticus, chapter 9, verse 1. And it reads as, "Vayi ba'yom ha'shmini." It was on the eighth day. Kara Moshe le'Aaron uvanav zikne Israel. Moses called Aaron, his sons, and the elders of Israel. And here we have an amazing story with not such a happy ending, but a very important story for us. And it starts, and the name is the eighth day. Why the eighth, and what is the eighth symbolizing? We have to remember we already had the number 8 before a few months ago when we celebrated Hanukkah. And Hanukkah was about celebrating 8 days of the miracle. Now, what's in common, we'll see, it's very, very close. But the first thing, in order to understand that, what is the story, the background? We are talking about like a year after the Exodus, minus 2 weeks. There was the Exodus. Mount Sinai Revelation was in Shavuot, the month of Sivan. Then the Golden Calf 40 days later. That's the summer. Moses goes to the mount again to bring the second set of the two tablets. That happens. He's coming down on Yom Kippur. And then the day after, they start building the tabernacle. It takes them about six months. And then it's ready just in the end of the month of Adar. It takes them 8 days to try to put it together. And on the eighth day, this is the first day of the month of Nisan, Eris, then the whole thing comes together, and that's when our story is happening. Okay? So then they put, and I want to, there's a lot to talk about it, but there's one really important issue that is basically taking the message for all of us, just especially this day, this week, this year. Okay, this is the first day the tabernacle or the portable temple the Israelites built in the desert is activated. And here there's something very, very important. Okay? There are instructions about what to do on the eighth day in the tabernacle. And then there's also the blessing, the first time that the Kohanim are blessing the people. And then, and that's the key verse in our reading this week, on verse 23. Okay, we are on chapter 9, verse 23. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron, and Moses and Aaron come together as one to the tabernacle. They came in, they got out, they blessed the people. Vayera kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. And the glory of God has been seen or revealed to the whole people. Verse 24. Vatetze esh milifnei Hashem. And fire came in front of Yud Kei Vav Kei, God. Vatochal al hamizbeach, the fire consumed whatever was on the altar. Vayar kol ha'am, and the whole people saw it. Vayaronu vayiplu al pneim, all of them rejoiced and fell from the awe of the revelation, fell on their face. And which is the same expression appears many, many times when a prophet has a prophetic revelation. Rabbi Zachariah explains that because most of people cannot withstand so much light, it is a huge amount of light, they lose the ability to use their legs. That's why they have to fall. So here we're talking, and that's what is very important to mention again, on verse 6, again, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe said, Zeh adavar sheziva Hashem, this is what God ordered. That's how you're going to do Ve'yera Alechem Kvod Hashem. And the glory of God will appear upon you. Here we have this amazing revelation of light that now it's not just a nation that comes on Mount Sinai. They have no idea what to expect to. Here they're building the vessel. They're building the vessel still. They build the vessel and still the vessel was not ready. How do we know? The next verse, chapter 10, verse 1. Vayikhu bnei Aaron, Nadav v'Avihu, ish machtato. And the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, they took each one his tray. Vayiknu b'ein esh, they put fire on it. Vayasimu al hektoret, and they put the incense on it. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, and they brought the offering to God. Esh zara shelo tzivah otam, but it was a different fire that he did not order them. Why? It was not their job, it was the job only of their father. Vatetze esh, verse 2, vatetze esh milifnei Hashem, and the fire came from God, vatochal otam, consumed them, vayamutu lifnei Hashem, and they died. And now there's a lot of commentators are saying, if that mistake of the two sons of Aaron did not happen, the whole world will take a different course. That's not our business. Our business is different. Why are we reading that? Why are we reading that this week? What's in it for us? And this is what's important. Okay? So now, and the answer is, let's start the answer from reading the Zohar of the Parasha, Parashat Shmini, from the beginning of the Zohar with the Sulam, Rabbi Ashok's commentary. Vayom HaShmini, it was on the eighth day. So first of all, what do we know about the eighth day? The eighth day, it is being said in many places, number eight is a symbol of one above nature. The level of miracles, the level of beyond the physicality, the level beyond the limitation of the logic and the body consciousness. When we talk about eight, same thing with Hanukkah, we talk about drawing in the light of miracles, the light of beyond. Okay? Now, why is it important? Because, as we're going to see, and as we said many times, when human beings have been created, when the human soul have been created, we were not created for the purpose of consuming, building careers, making money, building homes, and stuff like this. This is a byproduct. This is a byproduct that is supposed to bring us to the real main product, which is the light of God. We are creatures of light. We were created to receive light. That light that was created in Genesis chapter 1, already in the beginning, and God said, "Let there be light." And we are creatures of light because we want the light and there's nothing else that we want but the light. So let's see what the Zohar says. It's an amazing message for exactly this time and this era. Rabbi Yitzchak patach, Beron yachad kuchvei boker vayariu kol bnei Elohim. This is from Job 38. When the morning stars all rejoice together, and all the sons of God are cheering. Zakayim minun Israel, praiseworthy are the people of Israel. Dekutcha barichu yahiv lo noraita kadisha, that the God gave them the holy Torah. Chedvata dekola, and see how the Zohar defines the Torah, the happiness of everything. Chedvata dekotcha b'chu, the happiness of God. V'atyaluta dilei dichti v'ayeh shashuim yom yom. And this is also, the Torah is the place that God goes around to strolls. Like somebody goes to take a stroll in his garden. The Torah is the garden. Which garden? The Garden of Eden. How do we know? What was growing in the Garden of Eden? The tree of life. And we say, Etz Chaim Mi Lemachzikim Ba, the Torah is a tree of life for the people who hold on to it. So how come not everybody who's studying Torah, it looks like he's full with that rejoice, with that happiness that we are talking about? This is where the knowledge of Kabbalah comes in, and this is what the Zohar is about. And what does it say? What does it say? Kol HaTorah, Hishem Echad Kadosh El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah is one holy name of God. Uva'atorah nivra olam, and with the Torah, the whole world was created. Shekatuv haye etzlo amon, antikre amon, el ha'uman, shaitak li umanut shelo levirat ha'olam. God used the Torah in order to create the world. So the sages are asking, why do we need the Torah? Do we need to create another world? The world is created already. And the answer, as we said, Be'atorah nivra Adam. Adam was created by the knowledge that is embedded in the Torah. As it says, Vayomer Elokim Nase Adam, as it says, God said, let us make Adam. In plural. Why plural? Till now, it was in single. God just created everything in single. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LaTorah, Rotzeh Ani Livro Adam. So here's a common legend that appears many times in the Zohar, that God consulted with the Torah. I want to create Adam. Amar Lefanav, so the Torah said to God, like there's a conversation, Adam Azeh Atid Lachato Lariz Otcha. This Adam that you're going to create, that human or humanity that you're going to create, is going to anger you. Im lo tarich apchalaf, if you're not going to be patient, Ech itkayim ba'olam, how would he survive? Amar la, so God answers to the Torah, Ani ve'at namid oto ba'olam. Together, you and me, we are going to make it that God, that Adam, humanity, will be able to sustain. Ki lo lechilam ani nikra ech apayim. I am called patient. So, what is this legend about? That the Torah is not just the tool to create the universe, the Torah is also the place where you can find the light of God. And what does it mean? And here there's a discourse discussing that. There's a lot of stuff into it. But the most important thing, I just don't want to make it too long. But verse 7, ומשום זה מי שעוסק בתורה, whoever is occupying himself with the Torah. Occupying doesn't mean study, which means when you occupy yourself, you get busy yourself, busy with. Which means, you know, like when you are doing a business all and you're really into it, you just think about it, you dream about it, you wake up with it in the morning. Everything that you do reminds you of that business. That's what we're saying when we're talking about occupying yourself or doing the Torah your business, which means you're all into it because there's nothing that happens to you that is not connected somehow to the Torah, to what you're doing. Now, the Torah is not something you do on your leisure time. The Torah is not a religion. The Torah is a place that you delve into. As we said, God is strolling in this orchard that is called the Torah. Why do we study the Torah? Because we want to connect to God's light. There's no other reason we study the Torah. So if we are occupying ourselves, we're concentrating, focusing to connect to that light because we are beings of light. Without connecting to that light, if you're just trying to study the Torah in order to get a degree or just to learn a lot of very interesting stuff, this is not what the Torah is about. The Torah is a tool to enlighten, the tool to get our brains used to connect to spiritual existence, to the outer world. So now we can go just two verses backwards. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Mipnei ma habet ptucha mitzad echad v'stuma mitzad echad." When the Torah, when the first letter of the Torah is the letter Bet, And the letter bet is closed from the top, from the bottom, and from the back. It's open going forward. Why only open that direction? Ela, b'sha'a she'adam ba litchaber b'torah, when a person comes to unite and connect to the Torah, which means the Torah is not an intellectual philosophy. It's a connection. It's a connection to a state of existence that is beyond the physical existence. When we study Torah, we are studying in order to elevate ourselves. It's a form of meditation. Now, therefore, Rabbi Ashlag explains, why is it that in our days it is so much recommended to study Kabbalah? And he's answering, because when you study the other forms of the Torah, you know, the Torah has few forms. There's the law, there are the legends, the stories, the quotes, all of that stuff, the four levels of understanding the Torah. Kabbalah is the deepest of them all. When you study any form of the Torah, the problem is you might get lost with all the information. Unless you study Kabbalah, Kabbalah always is focusing the person who's studying into connection to the light which is hidden behind the stories, behind the verses, behind the laws, behind all the letters and the letters combinations. So that's why it says when a person comes to unite, to connect to the Torah, because learning Torah is a form of meditation. It is a connection. The moment the person comes to connect with the Torah opens itself up for the person to connect. However, when the person closes his eyes, he thinks that the Torah is a source for history, archaeology, laws, religion, whatever. Nothing, no, you're not looking for the light of God in between the letters, the verses, and the stories. Then the Torah blocks itself from him. That's why you look at the letter bet, it's blocked from four directions. It's open only from one direction. Only from that direction, which is the non-logical direction. We are not here for intellectual experiment or experience. We're here for a spiritual connection, which can be defined as enlightenment, bringing in the light. So when we're talking about that, the light of God is among the verses, the words and the letters of the Torah, it's really a consciousness, it's really a meditation, it's really a focal way of interaction. So, ומשום זה, verse 7, מי שעוסק בתורה כאילו עוסק בשם הקדוש, whoever is occupying himself, making its business, studying Torah, as a business, it's like he's getting busy with the holy name. Why do I have to get busy with the holy name? Because when you understand the holy name, what does it mean? It's a mantra, it's a meditation, it's a contemplation, it's a dialing code, connection to the world beyond, connection to the light, which is the essence of life. And that's why the Torah starts with the letter bet. Another way you can look at it, says the Zohar, you look at the letter bet, how does it look like? There's a line at the top, one vav, there's a line at the bottom, another vav, and there's a line connecting between the two, a third vav. These three vavs are the three verses that are the three verses of the holy 72 names. Each one of the three verses, this is in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19, 20, 21, each of the three verses starts with the letter Vav. If you combine the three letters together, you get the letter Bet. Why do we need the 72 names of God? To lift yourself up beyond logic, beyond understanding. For what purpose? Enlightenment. Connecting to the light which is the essence of life. When you connect over there, everything is possible. This is our calling as humans. Now, בואו, come and see, verse 8. כל אלו העוסקים בתורה, מדבקים בקדוש ברוך הוא, whoever is getting busy with the Torah, attach themselves to God. ומתעטרים בתורת התורה, and they get the crowns, they make themselves crowns. What is a crown? It's a connection to something that is above. What's the difference between a king and a regular human being? The king is anointed. What's anointment? It's connection to something beyond, to something that is above, to something that is beyond the logic and the physical senses. Whoever is dealing with the Torah is a business to do what? To connect to enlightenment. Whoever is doing that, he's getting the crowns of Torah, ואהובים למעלה ולמטה, and they're beloved above and below, which means they draw upon themselves the essence of love. What does it mean? The person that is doing that, he's being downloaded with love. What does it mean? But isn't love, you know, something between a man and a woman, or you know? No, this is falling in love. Falling in love, not by coincidence, starts with the word falling. Why not getting exalted? Because when it's a physical, hormonal love, you always fall. When you get connected to another human being in a connection which is the purpose of revealing light and the commitment to do it together as a partnership, that's called real love. What does it do? Love is, by essence, energy. How do you know? We all know that when we are having the best day and we're full of positive energy, we have the ability to love almost everyone. Even the people we don't love that much, we don't hang them on a day like this. Why? Because when we are charged with a lot of positive energy, one of the manifestations is love. The flow of energy, the unity with the light of God is called love. Love is energy. Love is not a physical attraction. This is falling in love, which is, by definition of science, this is a kind of addiction like any other chemical addictions to food, to chemicals and stuff like this. That's why it's falling, because it's after the excitement, there's always a falling. Here we're talking about love that is a derivative of a person energizing itself. So when a couple get together in order to make a journey of energizing each other and connecting to the above, that's called real love. Because when you get fulfilled with positive energy, then you have this energy and you call that flow love. You call it excitement, happiness, spiritual awakening, whatever. But you feel love, which is the simplest way, because suddenly you love everybody and you can tolerate everyone. So whoever is getting busy with the Torah, especially at night, and what does it mean at night? Especially in times that outside, logically, it doesn't look that great. Then when the morning comes, those people are being crowned with a thread of chesed, a thread of grace. It's like when you're crowned with a thread of chesed, there's some aura around you that protects you from negativity. Above, from negative forces, and below, from negative events. Now, let's continue and see how it's connected to what we're doing right now, what we're saying right now. And then there's a story. We'll skip the story. It's about a story with an animal, and a snake attacking a donkey, attacking a person, and so on and so forth. And We'll come to verse 15. And he speaks over there that whenever a creature attacks a human being, that creature is a messenger. We have to understand, a creature could be an animal, could be also a bacteria, could be also a virus. They can never attack a human being unless they're being sent on a mission. Everything in this world is calculated. Everything is connected. Everything has a meaning. That was a messenger. How many messengers the Creator has? And he's using all of them to do his to send his message. Even wild animals. Okay? So then the discourse is going on, and he's speaking about why some people will be attacked and some people would not. ובזמן שהקדוש ברוך הוא, that's verse 18, בזמן שהקדוש ברוך הוא נותן שקט ושלווה לאדם, when God gives quiet and peace for the person, then no one can attack him and disturb his peace. No one. ובזמן שהוא מסתיר עיניו מלהשגיח עליו, and when the Creator does not watch the person anymore, then who can watch the person? And then those messengers come and hurt the person. And that is the way of God with a goy, a nation, which means every nation around the world, or Adam could be a private person on the whole of humanity, which means either for the whole world or either one nation or one person. It's all about that. Why? So now you understand why was that allowed for a little virus coming from, let's say, from China? Why is this virus allowed to stop the whole of humanity almost and bring it to a halt? It's because the Creator allows it. And why does he allow it? So we spoke about it in the last week's parasha. When the whole world is on the left side, and what I mean the left side, which means it's all about taking and not about giving, taking from others, taking from the creation, taking for ourselves alone. So yes, the Creator will give, but then that will create judgment, because the Creator is infinite. When you use the infinite giving of the Creator and you abuse it, which means you take and you take and you take and you never give, and you think that living in a way that is self-centered in egotism is the way of life, and you get this high and a flash and a crash, that is called the judgments. The judgments, because you're abusing the giving of the Creator. The Creator is not judging. He is not about making a boundary. We are the ones who are supposed to make the boundary. How do we make the boundary? When we receive and we say, I don't need that much. When we receive and we say, I can't just have so much without sharing it with others. Humanity is not sharing. Humanity is not making a boundary. This is called left column. And when the left column goes overboard, then the result is judgment and the result is the attack. Here we have a disease, a plague that is global, because selfishness is global. Unity is not so global anymore. Each person for himself. And that's why it says, as Zohar is saying, come and see, when humans הגוד, actions are good below, מתעוררת עליהם מלמעלה ימינו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. They awaken the right arm of God. What is the right arm? The grace. Chesed. Chesed heals. Chesed is the energy that heals diseases and problems and heartaches and all kinds of bad experiences. Chesed is that grace that when in all, but the problem is chesed cannot come unless we do actions of chesed down below. אז מתעוררים כמה אוהבים כמה שומרי העולם. The moment we awaken grace, loving kindness and caring, we awaken forces from above of the same energy, and it's called the right color. This energy is a guardian against diseases, against any kinds of wars and problems. Then the left side is being subdued, overcome, and he cannot control. What does it mean? The pain would not go around. The plagues would not go around. The wars and the judgment would not go around. The killing and the discontentment will not go around because the right calm, the arousal by people of loving and caring and sharing beyond their means, beyond their physical limitation, when people do that, they bring upon themselves that power of chesed. And how do we learn how to do that? From contemplating in the Torah. ובזמן שמעשי בני אדם אינם טובים למטה, and when the deeds of people are not good down below, in the physical world, מתעורר עליהם צד שמאל, so that the left column is being awakened and aroused, which is judgment. And then all the forces that are that belong to the side of judgment, they are being awakened. And then all of them become messengers to hurt people, cause an effect, like putting your finger in the socket. What's in the socket? Minus electrons, right? You put your finger in the socket, it explodes. Very exciting. That's not very comfortable, right? כי אלו שעברו על דברי תורה, כולם רשומים בפניהם ונקראים לאלו מתעוררים בצד שמאל. So whoever crossed the boundaries and they are busy creating all kinds of actions that awaken the left column. What is left column again? Selfishness. I want to enjoy, to, but only for myself alone, and going against the rules. Do not kill, do not steal, whatever. There's no awareness of what is called global community, family. It's all about the me. And we know, what can we say? Less and less people get married because getting married means to take care about somebody. Why should I? I want to take care about myself. Having children is taking care about somebody. Why should I take care about somebody? I want that everybody will take care about me. That left column, that needs to change. Okay, so I think we just have seen the two opposites. One opposite is when people are focusing on the left column, one of the results will be materialism. Looking for more and more physical awakening, which means enjoying career, making money, no matter what the cost is, how many are being hurt, no matter about that, or using any kind of means to get excited for myself again, just for myself, that creates a left column. What's the problem? It's all limited and finite. Because it comes to an end, there's a high and there's a buy. That's judgment. While looking into the Torah, when all of this on the same time, applying it by, you know, studying the whole Torah, standing one foot, loving others as loving ourselves. When that is coming together and you get that energy of grace, chesed, and enlightenment, that's another thing. Humanity went too far away. Not just that we didn't get what we wanted, which means we got high and a lot of buy. Never been in history that so many people are so depressed. They take so many drugs against depression. They're addicted to depression, they're addicted to, you name it. I don't have to say too much. Our job has been changed. We need to connect to spiritual enlightenment, which is our true calling. How? Contemplating, meditating, using the Torah for spiritual enlightenment, and learning how to connect to enlightenment. And enlightenment cannot be achieved without caring for other people, without getting out of our little boundaries and sensing feeling for others. Has to be done, but and how would that happen? Because when we care for others, we build the vessel. We build a vessel. The light of chesed, the light of giving, is becoming the vessel for the enlightenment of high. You want to feel high? You have also to build not just the meditative abilities and the learning abilities, you have to learn also the commitment for others. It's a mixture. Okay? And therefore, we understand now the story of Passover. Because what is the story of Passover? It's not about just about, you know, making something happen. It's about a revelation. The two sons of Aaron, they wanted the glory of God, but they wanted too much. Okay? They went too close and they got burned because they didn't build a vessel. It was all about them. It says they didn't get married yet, they were singles, they were just about the high, but still they were very, very high beings, these two souls. But they felt that light so much they couldn't stop it because they just wanted it, and they did it. They just took off. They got too close and were consumed up to the light. Okay? Passover is the same story. Passover, we just have to do the Seder. But this Wednesday night, when we are celebrating Passover, we have to remember that some more than 3,300 years ago, it was also the night of the 10th plague, the first Passover. It was Wednesday night. And what happened was, it says everybody had to get themselves closed in-house till the morning, till the light shined. And what happened when everybody got themselves closed inside the house? The light that came from above was so powerful, so strong, that it knocked out the dark consciousness of the body and allowed the connection to such a high that never appeared before. What we have to do on this Wednesday night, the full moon of Passover, is to do the Seder, to eat the matzot, and to ask and to pray to receive on that night that light that will give us the redemption. Because every year, full moon of Aries, of the month of Nisan, the same light appears, and it looks like this year, more than the other years before, humanity will be home like the Israelites on Passover in Egypt. And then, if you're connecting to Chesed, to really connecting to the Torah, to light, to enlightenment, asking, that light will come in and burn selfishness, anger, any kind of slavery that we have inside. Slavery means selfishness. Slavery means stupidity. Slavery means our narrow-mindedness. Slavery means the box that we're locked in. As a belief system, whatever prevents us from becoming the people of enlightenment, that is our calling, and this is where what we were created for. So this is the time that we are home. There's a plague and we have to be locked inside. It's a time to pray for the ones who are sick and to pray for the ones who are healthy to stay healthy. And we pray by this to all of them, and to pray when that light comes in, that every aspect of disease and negativity and sorrow and pain over the earth will be removed this Passover, so we can move on to a better world that we can share with each other. Thank you, and happy Passover. Pesach Sameach.